Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have broken into your Sunday night experience on Cut the Promo Podcast. Now let's bring out our host, your buddy and mine, JG Jordan Garber.
Yes, great to be here on Cut the Promo Wrestling Podcast. Everyone here watching on the Facebook live stream or listening to the podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. It's great to be here, to be hosting this wonderful program. Now, as of late, we did reach some new heights as well as we did get our interview out with Tony Ono, which is in the middle of the work of reaching wrestling news headlines again. So I do look forward to that, as well as our guest tonight. Icon, tell us a little more about our guest tonight and what they offer.
Well, our guest is a real special one. He happens to own and publish and write for the International Ring Sports Wrestling Magazine. And it's really interesting that he wants to feature you and myself in his magazine. So we're going to have him on to talk about his writings and what he covers and how long his magazine's been around and all the hot spots in between. So we're going to talk to Haiti Nakui, and I may be pronouncing his name wrong, but he can correct us as he's on. So we're going to have some fun tonight.
One thing that you have to understand is you got to get the name right, my brother. Like, come on. But that's, I'm just joking around. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great action-packed interview here. And, you know, like I said, it's really interesting how he has a wrestling magazine. And I learned from other wrestling journalists as well. I want to be the best I can be. So I do appreciate it. Kevin, thanks for sitting in here on the live stream. So, yeah, Icon, kind of elaborate more on that. Basically, about wrestling as of late, what you've been seeing, what you've liked, what you really disliked as far as that gets on the air here.
Well, I like that the WWE seems to be going in a better direction. However, they still have a lot to improve on. SummerSlam was, well, it was good, and it was a solid B-, almost a regular B, but they still have a ways to go in their product. And I feel that competition that they're going to have from the AEW is going to help. I just hope they realize that they need to start doing better stuff than what they're doing.
I agree with, absolutely. I agree with that. They've got to offer some alternatives here. You know, you keep saying the same Ryan Boucher thing. Keep shocking us, you know, and it seems like that's something that's going on really well right now. So I think that's something that they just got to continue to do, but to a higher extent and to a higher intensity level. So I feel that's the circumstances at this point. And we have our caller calling in. First three characters are 447. So is that our guest icon?
Yes, it is.
All right, let's bring him on the line. Welcome to Cut the Promo Wrestling Podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Good,
wonderful.
It's great to have you on.
Well, it's great to be on. I'm glad that you can even hear me.
Yeah, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. Tell us a little bit about, your magazine and yourself, and we'll have some fun with you tonight.
Thanks. Well, let me introduce myself. My name is Hadi Nakri. I'm the owner of Ring Sport Magazine, which is an online publication, Facebook only at the moment. And basically, it was passed on to me by the original owner, Dennis Lord. I've been in the pro wrestling industry since 2014. I've been working as a manager, a personality called the Tycoon. I've not done too bad in the industry, but what I decided to do was take it one stage further. We, Wingsport magazine originally set up in the 60s, and with, it was set up by Dennis Lord, who just done the independent wrestling circuit and was bringing it quite to life. So he covered people like, you know, wrestling personalities like Giant Haystack, Kendall Nagasaki, so some of the British wrestling personalities, and kept it going. But as time went on, the industry changed, so did the methods of communication. He put it on online, but of course, the traction wasn't quite there. So his age as well was getting on quite a bit as well. So I passed it on to myself, where I just took the reins and ran with it. And the aim of Ringsport magazine was to actually bring about exposure to all the independent promotions that are putting in great matches, great storylines, but may not necessarily have had the wider exposure at some of the better, bigger independents out there.
And that is awesome.
Oh,
now, with that being said, you and we also want to let people know that it is pretty early in the morning where you're calling from, correct?
Yeah, it's now 4 o'clock in the morning, and yeah, coffee has been a real lifesaver for me.
And we do appreciate it. Here's how we'll do it. The host of the show, JG, Jordan Garber, he'll ask questions, and I'll kind of ask them, and then we'll kind of proceed on this, and we'll have some fun with you.
I look forward to that.
All right, go ahead,
absolutely.
JG.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. Now, from a wrestling journalist to a fellow wrestling journalist, why I do it is because I have my passion for the wrestling business and to spread the word of professional wrestling and to, you know, get my name on as many things as possible. That's my goal as a wrestling journalist, and obviously to make some money in the long run. In your side of things, what makes you want to wake up and report on pro wrestling?
See, the thing for me was not like, you know, because I'm not a traditional journalist by trade or anything like that. What I am was someone that thought, look, you know, there's so much going on within the British wrestling circuit, yet all that I'm seeing is things that are being covered on the massive independent promotions, such as Ring of Honor or TNA or, you know, some of the wider corporates like the WWE. And for me, I thought, look, you know, there's a real niche area that's not being exposed to the general public. There's a lot of guys going out there doing these shows and doing phenomenal things on these shows, great matches, great storytelling, even those particular promotions, which are within their niche areas or geographic areas, but not going out to the wider area. So I thought, look, let me expose these guys. And furthermore, you know, we also went into the areas of production and other sides of production, like graphic designs, things like that, to help out. So it became an overall business in that sense. And within my first 3 months of covering, you know, of taking over and starting to do the production side, we actually took on 8 independent promotions. We got their footage, got the matches out there, that kind of thing. And sometimes those promotions, you know, some would fold and others would keep going. But because we captured that footage, that left a legacy and that helped other wrestlers who had done quite well in those matches but weren't able to give it to other promoters to showcase their talents. You know, and that was one of the biggest issues I was finding in the independent side at that time, was that people don't have access to footage. You know, and the footage that they have got was not of a good quality. So it was a way of networking with all the other people out there under a good banner. So, you know, other production people, videographers, commentators, video editors, get them all involved under one particular banner and then get them out there working in separate areas. And it worked quite well.
And do you feel, though, that, you know, you mentioned you do a lot of independent wrestling, and to me, nowadays, independent wrestling is really a lot better than WWE because they go back to the grassroots of what wrestling should be. my question is, what is your opinion currently, if you follow it, the WWE and where they're headed? And do you feel that with independent wrestling, we can go back to the days of territories for different independent wrestling organizations?
Well, that's exactly what's happening with the independent market at the moment, is that it has been, in certain degrees, it is territories or regionalized. And a lot of these guys, just because of logistics, can't go out any further than where they're actually practically based. So, you know, as an example, if I'm an independent promotion in London, I can't take my promotion up to, let's say, Scotland, unless there's someone in Scotland that will say, right, yeah, we'll be happy to house your promotion, and more importantly, the fan base that can travel with you to that sort of area. The thing with the WWE is that they've had mass exposure and they've grown up over a long period of time, you know, at least 50, 60 years, and even well before that, you know, and taking on the communication methods out there to mass market themselves. Many of these independent promotions don't have that feature or that facility, you know, and what you were saying about the independent promotions as well in terms of the matches. The freedom and flexibility that you've got to, you know, you're not answering to anyone else apart from the promoter. And even then, the promoters are quite flexible. As long as they're seeing that, you know, the matches are good quality, production's okay, they feel they can get it out there, you know, there's a lot of, how can I put this? It's difficult to actually put into words. I'll say it strongly because it's a reflection of the industry at the moment. It's territory-based still in the mindset of the very small independents that are carving out their area and feel that no one can come into those patches, which is absolutely fine. But what they're not doing is working side by side. And that's where Ring Sport was able to come in and be that sort of bridge.
That's awesome. We have a great guest here, and I do apologize. I keep mispronouncing your name. So
call me Hattie.
Okay.
Heidi. Hattie. Thanks.
Hattie. We have Hattie here with us. We're going to have him for the duration of the show. One other question. We'll let JG jump in here. Now, let me ask you this. You know, you mentioned that with your promotion cannot take their other promotion into other areas. Is that by wrestling law, or is that just the way it is set up in the other countries there, or is it just like an unwritten rule?
It's a logistics thing more than anything else. You got to understand that with many of the independent promotions, if they're putting on a show, the maximum that they're going to get would be maybe 350 people, and that would be a fantastic draw. Now, then take that same fan base to another location. You're looking at that fan base to travel quite a wide distance, and if you can get that fan base to travel, you know, is the show going to be successful? Many promoters then feel, look, we can't really go further out than our local geographic area. That's what it comes down to. And then, yeah, you still have some old-school dirty tactics with a lot of promoters that will tear down posters, they will call up venues trying to get things cancelled. So it puts a lot of fear in a relatively young or, you know, small promotion to go out there and then push themselves out there. You know, again, unless you've got good financial backing, it makes it a lot more difficult to do that kind of thing. And most of these promoters are very, very small. They're usually putting their own, you know, cash into these promotions just on the show for the public. So it's not really unwritten rules per se. It's not really drawn down territorial lines or anything like that. There's nothing stopping the promotion, you know, going from one location to another location. It's just a matter of, you know, is it economically feasible for them?
That's cool. JG, what do you got?
So where can people like find your publications here? Where can they basically find your magazines, and where are they available, and kind of how did that process all come about, you know, getting your magazine published? That's a wrestling dream, and you made that come true. So how was the journey, and where can people find the publications?
Well, the publication is Facebook only for the time being. So we just got our own page called Ring Sport Magazine. When the industry changed rapidly, we saw a massive shift in how people are consuming newspapers or print media. And that's all online. Whether you've got your own website or if you're doing it on Facebook. Facebook is still one of the most mass-consumed products out there. And we're seeing it. Over 2 billion people can access Facebook right across the world. So it made more sense just to say, right, you know, let's put it onto Facebook. Let's get all the other social media tools added together, like Twitter, Instagram, get a YouTube channel set up, and then push more videos or footage that we'd produced out to the general mass public. You know, I know independent promotions can do it as well. So what we've done was done sections by sections. And even now, we're seeing a lot more promotions starting to put their product onto our page just to get that wider exposure, which is really good. The page had a bit of a hiatus, and that was because, again, there's a lot of this on a voluntary basis, and what the actual page done was provide a platform for all the people who are working on that page to get bigger and better positions. So our head of videography at the time, our head of production, Jake Michael Christian, went on into a far bigger role where his time was taken in particular because of the Ring Sport page and the Ring Sport production side of things. You go into places like BBC and Canada TV and some of these other places as well. So that took a lot of his time away from it. So this is what was originally there to provide, was a platform as well to all the people in those areas to say, yeah, I do this as well. So basically we kept it on Facebook because it was easy to publish, easy to get things out there, easy to promote to many different niche areas. And we got, more importantly, we attracted the people that were non-marks. They weren't people who were traditionally interested in wrestling. So it helped to cross over. And I felt very proud about that. Are you still there?
Yeah, that is awesome. You know, and I like how you mentioned that. Now, you know, I want to kind of go back here a little bit about what you said about is it financially feasible to go take one promotion from another place to another? But you mentioned that some promoters might take down posters and do dirty tactics. Do they kind of? Would you say they may take the Eric Bischoff / Godfather role in that, to kind of keep other entities out of their areas?
See, the thing is, you can go two ways. So, yeah, you get the old school traditional type promoters that would be very much, this is our territory, do not come in here. And if you do, then we will have words, so to speak. And then you've got the other promoters out there who will do it behind the scenes. You know, so they'll take down the posters, or they get some of the trainees take down posters. And then no one can actually say, oh my God, who's done this? They'll have their suspicions, but no one will actually be able to do the proper confrontation. We're seeing that at the moment in a place called High Wycombe for Entertainment Wrestling Association. They've been there for the last 12 years, and their posters have just been ripped down as well. It's kind of bad because they've got their 10th anniversary show for the British Bash coming up in September. So it's a new promotion who came into the area. And what they felt, rather than standing on their own 2 feet, even though they've been going for quite a period of time, they started just playing the dirty tactics. you know, like calling up the venue, saying that the show's cancelled, ripping down posters, that kind of thing. So, yeah, you're going to get those guys that are going to act like the old school Eric Bischoff or the traditional old school gangster. But generally, that's, you know, sooner or later, karma comes around. And the way how new technologies are working at the moment, like what we're seeing with Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, is that you can put your posts up there and no one's going to tear them down. The way how Facebook's working at the moment in terms of capturing a detailed target audience, you're not restricted to just one area now. You're worldwide. And we're seeing that more and more people from across the world are accessing these promotions that are based in the UK, because promoters who are on top of the social media and technology side of things are now pushing their stuff out properly. So that's generating them a proper revenue. When the show's finished, there's another revenue stream coming through. And more importantly, no other promoter can play dirty tactics on that basis.
That is really cool. JG, what do you got?
JG, are you still there?
Yeah, I still am. Yeah, sorry about that. Fine, you probably
there.
Yeah.
Guys,
if I'm
boring you guys a little bit, don't worry. I'll try and spruce
up with
old school tycoon stuff.
Well, no. It's just that we don't want to step on each other's toes when we're asking questions. So we're kind of going back and forth. So, you know, when he asks a question and you answer it, then it sparks another question for me. So I just want to make sure that we're not stepping on each other's toes so you don't get confused.
It's all good. I'm just very, very proud to actually be on the show. And, you know, the plug is already out there from Ring Sport Magazine, and we'll be pushing now even more further. So we're going to be starting to gain a lot more traction and a lot more fans in the near future. So don't worry, guys. I'm going to make sure that this show goes out there big time.
And I did send you links to both our shows. So you can add those both to your anything you can do to help promote our shows, we would appreciate. And JT, I don't know if I told you this or not, but I did send him a couple great promo pictures of you and I that he can add to his magazine.
And that's exactly
what
I will do, guys. That is exactly what I'm going to do. I just got to do it absolutely right and get it all out there properly. The problem is always with someone like, you know, ourselves, you know, is that we've got a passion for this, but sometimes time management, diary management, life can sometimes get in the way of this.
Yes, it can, especially when you have to have, like, both JG and I can tell you, when you have to have a regular job to make ends meet until, you know, they start paying you to do your podcast every week. You know, you got to make ends meet some other way.
Exactly. And you know, thankfully, when I started off at Ring Sport, you know, I was not in a what you call an employed situation. I was in a self-employed situation. But because of Ring Sport, it also helped me get into other places. You know, it was really interesting. Again, as a platform, it helped me to bring about all this young talent that needed the exposure. Or being cut out, and I was just basically getting all the promotions in to help them. So with the production side of things, and then putting onto a page where people can easily access it, that gave them far more what I'll call spin-off business from it. So we're all here to help one another, and that's how I always see it. Because at the end of the day, we love and care for the business that we're in. And we want to see it grow. We don't want to see the independent side die out, because without the independent side, you know, the big guys don't have that wealth of talent to come through.
And that's,
I know it's a little bit preachy there.
Well, no, and that's exactly the best way to describe it. My next question for you is, you know, you mentioned, you know, all the different independent wrestlers over there. Independent wrestling companies over there. And it's a two-part question. Do you have a favorite? I don't know if you can answer it or not. If you want to answer it, I'll understand if you don't. Do you have a favorite independent wrestling company over there, part one? And part two, with the different independent wrestling organizations over there and the fans over there, they take their wrestling more serious over there, would you say, compared to the way they are over here in the States?
Okay, so when answering favorite independent ones, it's difficult because there's so many of them. But, you know, I can say the ones I've worked on, I love them very much as a professional wrestling manager. Now, again, Icon, I think you understand this part very well, that many, many promotions do not want to have a manager on their shows because they don't feel managers are the same as someone who's an in-ring talent. But 90% of the time, you'll see that with managers, they will bring in a lot of the audience because they create such a character that's realistic and is hated. So it motivates people to get out of their chair to get in and see these guys. So for me, promotions where I've worked on, where they looked at it, like UKPW, World War Wrestling, British Empire Wrestling, Entertainment Wrestling Association, BECW, all these places which are out there, and you know, Scottish Wrestling Entertainment, I've really enjoyed working there as well. There was a lot of promotions I've actually worked with over the years. Tap Out done really well, and then they stopped. And that was the big problem with a lot of the independents, is that they don't necessarily carry on for a long period of time. Hence why, if you've got a great match, you want to capture the footage so that it doesn't, it lasts forever. The legacy lasts forever. But that's kind of promotions I would say, yeah, they are my favorite to watch and favorites to work on. But in general, everyone wants to be on the very, very big ones. Yeah. Because of it is. You had a second part to that question as well, Icon.
Yeah. The wrestling fans over there take their wrestling more seriously, it seems like, than they do here in the States. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I do. And the reason why I agree with that is because the general lifestyle over here can be very, very serious. So it's a form of escapism. For me, a wrestling show is theater to the masses. It has it all. So it has action, it has drama, it has excitement, it has sad times, it has fun times in it. It has comedy too. So, yeah, that's why the fans take it really, really seriously. And they want to make sure that things are, they last for a long period of time. We've seen that with the likes of ITW, Progress, and RevPro becoming the wrestling institutions that they are.
I like that. That's awesome. JG, Jordan, what do you got, man?
Yeah, so basically, if you can go to one place to report on wrestling and you could do it for a month, where would you go and why?
Boy, that's a
loaded
question.
That is a tough one. Now, you've got to look at that properly. If I was to go to one wrestling promotion, it would have to be something that is consistent. It's happening each and every either week or, And there's a few which are out there which are like that in the UK, like WrestleForce. They do 2 to 3 shows per week. You know, All Stars, when they do the camps, they will do it quite regularly. But the thing with those kinds of guys is that they don't have any kind of storyline. What they have is a show. They don't even put on what you would class as an event where something leads up to the finish. It is just one match after another match with no real massive context behind it apart from shall I hit in, shall I not, that kind of stuff. So to me, it would have to be something really engaging where there's a storyline where something is happening. For me, it would then have to be something like Impact, as a promotion, because they've got a running storyline, they've got mass exposure, and you know that something's going to happen each and every week.
Yeah, that is cool. And would you that is awesome. I mean, you know, it's just I'm just trying to take in everything that you're saying, because it's all interesting, and I have several follow up questions, but I want to answer the ask the right one, so it doesn't make it sound like you have to repeat what you said, because it's just a lot of stuff to take in as you're talking about it, and it's really interesting how you pinpoint everything. So I'll ask you this. We all know, as wrestling fans and wrestling writers and wrestlers ourselves, we all know the term kayfabe, okay?
Yes.
Now, in the independents over there, kayfabe still exists. Am I
mm-hmm.
right? They don't really do the big-time internet stuff over there, right? Kayfabe is still a thing?
Right. So kayfabe, in its purest sense of the word, depends totally upon who the individual character is. So as an example, me as a tycoon, I will go kayfabe to the nth level, such as how the old school Ric Flair was, where he had a limousine driver and all the rest of it. So for myself, I'll drive a Mercedes to show that I'm a tycoon. I'll wear suits all the time, have some kind of flashy garment and hire the best guys, that kind of thing. But really be more like Bobby Heenan style cheapskate. So it's not really like the most expensive suits, it's like very cheap suits. I make it out there, it's really expensive. And you've got a lot of guys out there who do keep kayfabe, and a lot of promoters that want to retain kayfabe, because the attitude is the fans are paying for a show. You know, that's what they're paying for. So it's our job to give them that show and make them believe in the magic of wrestling still. You know, they know that there's a lot of things that, in terms of strikes, in terms of slams, the body's conditioned to take a lot of things. So it's not the same as MMA, where we know where certain moves are applied in wrestling, no one's going to tap out. But you apply the same moves in MMA, like maybe a proper wrist lock or a proper headlock, a person can tap out. These guys, the fans totally believe in the whole kayfabe side. But it's down to the promotion, it's down to the story, and it's down to making sure that you get the audience engaged. Again, you had a guy on your show recently, I can't remember the person's name, but he talked about Al Snow. And Al Snow was one of my, when Al Snow Wrestling Academy started up, I was one of the major trainees there. So that was something inspired within us about kayfabe. Give the audience what is needed. It's a show. Let them enjoy it. Keep the magic of the show going. Keep the magic of the character going. When you're outside, just keep it going, because ultimately, you want to be remembered. And people don't remember the entire match. They'll remember the finish. People won't remember, a particular strike. They'll remember the emotion that was captured within it. And so, one of the biggest criticisms of myself as a tycoon has always been, you stole the show. People remember you more. Well, no, that's because I created a character that people latched onto you more. I didn't deliberately mean to take it away from the match. My intention is to enhance the match with storyline and get the crowd emotionally involved, so that they hate the character so much, they naturally support the face. And that, don't get me wrong, in Canada and USA, you've got Hicksville. We do have those areas in the UK as well, where, they marry their cousins and that kind of thing. So we do have that. So, yeah, but that's very, it's like the north of England. as I said, these are the most important features for keeping kayfabe going. Kayfabe for us is not what it was in the 60s and the 70s, where it's protecting an industry. No. It's now evolved into something else, which is it's carrying on a tradition to ensure that the magic of wrestling is still kept going, even after the show is done.
And I love every word of how you said it. See, the thing is, with the industry over here, And I'm not talking so much the independents over here, more like the big beast, the WWE. The thing is, most people can predict what's going on and what's going to happen nowadays. It's so predictable.
Yeah.
With our independent shows, it's not so much because they have fresh storylines, they have fresh ideas. They're in old school wrestling. WWE, as you may know, seems to insult our intelligence more often. And I also appreciate the fact how you did listen to our interview with Al Snow. CJG, he has listened to our show, and he knows what we're about. So you got to have a few more questions about that. Maybe or not.
I do. I'm still there. I'm still on the line. I'm still on the line. Sorry.
Okay.
So, yeah, we did that interview with Al Snow, and it was a really good interview. I really think that when I have a name on my show, my objective here is to reach the press. That's my number one outcome for what I'm going for. You're only given one opportunity to have a big name on your show, so you go on there and you have to ask some of those tough questions, and you have to ask some very easy questions as well. It kind of depends, but it's best for what's the overall product, what fans are going to enjoy, engage, and listen to, and what can get out there to the press so that people can tune in from listening to this podcast, whether it's old or new fans listening from around the world.
Well, you've got one.
That's my goal.
You've got one big personality in the UK on your show at the moment. So, you know, and this personality has gone out there, won awards, been nominated for Independent Wrestling Awards against the likes of guys like, I don't know, Session Martino or Will Ospreay, and done quite well across the entire world. So, you know what? I may not be Al Snow, but I'm not too far behind, I hope. Sorry, Al, if you're listening. but, yeah, I mean, from you got, you know, I think Icon will agree with this as well as yourself, JP. And that is that so many times everyone looks at the wrestlers, which is really, really what it's all about, but they will ignore the impact that a referee will have. They will ignore the impact, well, they won't ignore the impact of a manager, never do. If a manager does their job right, they make a promotion. They don't make a show. They make that, oh, this is the reason why I should be there, and this is the reason why I should come back again. I want to see that guy get his comeuppance. And from that basis, you know, again, with the help of guys like Al Snow and, you know, my mentors within the industry, I was able to go out internationally as a manager, getting booked independently as a manager. And, you know, for people who are managers, they should never feel that they're an add-on. They should feel that they are, you know, that one key component that's going to bring up a promotion.
And,
I mean,
you know,
I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well, no, I
agree.
I know that I'm the reason why people are listening to this show right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, JG. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
So I will ask you this then. You know,
yeah.
With your magazine and your tenure in the business and your outreach in the business, do you find that you don't really want to be friendly with a lot of promotion heads because other promotion might think it's favoritism, or is that not the case?
No, that's not the case. You want to be friendly with as many people as possible because you want to get your reach out to as many areas as possible. The old adage for any salesperson, again, my training was in sales, is that the greatest number of people you can get along with, the more friends that you can make, the more it's easier to get the business from them. And my idea was originally to get more of the production side out there, but it also turned into a organic relationship. I get the production business out, but then I'll make sure that your promotion gets out, and I'll use my magazine as a platform to give legitimacy to your promotion.
Yeah,
you're not just a fly-by-night promotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah. go ahead, JG. You had made a comment. Go ahead, repeat that.
Yeah, oh no, I was just hearing some audio glitches there, but that's not too bad. We do have 5 minutes left on the program here. So,
oh, sorry, guys. Yeah,
final...
I won't speak too much.
Oh no,
no,
absolutely.
That's fine.
We do
no,
have 5 minutes
we love
left.
You.
We love having you on. You were scheduled for the whole show, and I appreciate you being on for the whole show. It's a privilege. Icon, any final questions before we wrap it up? So I'll ask a few more, but you can ask a few first.
Yeah. My final question, and then we'll let JG close the show here. When you decided that you wanted to do the wrestling magazine, did you have the feeling like, oh, this is going to get me to the big time? I'm going to get flown over and write for the WWE or ECW or WCW. Did you ever have that thought? Was that ever one of your goals or not?
It still is a goal. It still is a goal, and that's why I surround myself with good people that could give me the right ideas to be able to make sure those goals are executed. Again, we took a hiatus from it because life got in the way. But now many challenges have been overcome. It's time to, and that's been the beauty of Ringsport Magazine, having the platform and being advertised where it is that even though no one's looking at it, it's still going. And the same with the production side. It was still there, you know? So that, for me, is still a major goal, and we will reach that goal as the magazine grows in the future.
And I'll throw this out there. You know, if you ever decide that you need a full-time writer from the States here, JG and I would love to be a wrestling writing team for you.
Do it. And I'll be more than happy for you to just post on there. It's a public platform. I want as many promotions posted on there. I would like as many reviews on there as possible. Because the more reviews that we have of independent promotions, the more exposure it will gain. And more importantly, it keeps the industry alive. You know, people go to a wrestling show, but they won't report about it afterwards. Why not?
Exactly.
You know, did you enjoy the show? If you enjoyed the show, what did you enjoy about it? One of the things that happened in my career very early on, where, you know, I was on the show with guys like Andy Simmons, James Castle, big names, Pollyanna, but the reporter who reported on the show remembered the incident that I done in my match at the end, which wasn't a good match, but the incident was so memorable. It was the babyface turn, the babyface, the heel turn on the babyface. You know, and I'm the manager of the heel. He turned on me, so I slapped him in the face and ran away. But that got reported over every other match. No one else remembered anything. And that led to me getting into more and more promotions. And this is where we need a voice, you know, for the independents who aren't drawing more than maybe 50, 60, 70. We need to get them into the brackets of 100, 200, 300. Because if they grow, everything else grows. The pie is really big.
That is awesome. I love how you stated that. As a matter of fact, I've loved everything you said. And like
oh,
I say, but and I'm not just saying because of you. This is by far the coolest interview that I've been part of with all the stuff that you do and everything. And like I say, anything you can do to help promote me and Jordan's shows, we're grateful. And anything that we can do for you, like I definitely want to get you on our Monday show as well. And
absolutely, we have a minute left.
There you go.
Oh,
go ahead.
Then I'll put the plug out there.
Please,
and
make sure before we wrap it up, let's get him give us some plugs. Just where can people check out your next broadcast, your magazine? And, that basically from there on, where can people follow yourself on social media to stay up to date?
Right, Ringsport Magazine, and I'm known on for my wrestling persona as @TheTycoon2. That's the digit 2. And that's on all social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I've also got a YouTube channel as well, Tea with the Tycoon. I've just done my very first podcast, based upon a very popular Facebook Live podcast. So, you know what? It's all starting to blow up now because things settled back down again. And I want to extend this opportunity to you guys. Please feel free to post as much as you want, any reviews you want on Ring Sport Magazine on the Facebook page. I'd love you guys to do that as well.
We'll definitely do that. We'll report all our shows right on your site there. Thank you.
Ah,